Well, if you have your a bulletin near you, or you have brought one, picked one up when you came in, you know the message today is called Why? It's a big question mark. Why? The word why really means that the definition of the word why is the cause or reason for something. It's the cause or reason for something. And I want us to look at a few questions today for us as individuals and as a church. And I want us to think about that. Think about the definition, the reason. Why means why is the reason or the cause for something. And so I'm just going to start with a few questions today for us to think about. And as we go through here, I'm going to look at some words of Jesus and some things he said about why. Why do I have faith in Jesus? That's the first question for us. Why do I have faith in Jesus? Think about that. Just think about that for a minute. Why do I have faith in Jesus? Is it because he's real in my life? Or is he just a social symbol? Why do I have faith in Jesus? The next question is, why do I read the Bible? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I read the Bible? Is it as a checklist item? Or is it just, or is it to have it change me? Is it just a checklist? Okay, I read 10 minutes today. Or do you read the Bible? Do I read the Bible so it will change me? Here's another one. And these next two, I'll come back and visit a little more on. Why do I come to church? Why do I come to church? Think about that. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about why you come here on Sunday morning? Or any other time? Some of you might say, well, it's because I have to. Or it's to please my spouse. Or maybe to complete my social status. So I have that along with my other clubs and organizations. Why do I come to church? Next question, why, is why do I need people? Why do I need people? Is it to use for my benefit? Or is it to encourage and be encouraged? Is it to learn from and learn with? Why do I need people? Ask yourself, do you ever ask yourself that? Why do I need people? Turn to Hebrews, if you will. Look up Hebrews 10:24. Either on your devices or in your Bibles. Your electronics or your manual Bible. Hebrews 10:24. I'm going to be using the New Living Testament for some of the scriptures today, because I just like the wording. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And verse 25 says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, that's a powerful passage for the church. Let us not neglect meeting together, coming together like we are now, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, the writer of Hebrews is telling us there, obviously, at that time, there were some issues with church attendance as well at that time. Because that's an encouragement and exhortation to say, hey, we need to keep coming together. We need to keep coming together and encouraging each other. Especially now that the day of His return is nearing. And when that was written, it wasn't near as close as it is today. And so for me, that scripture has a whole lot more meaning today than it did then. And so it's an exhortation. It's an unction for us to come together with each other, to worship God collectively, to encourage one another, and all the more. Anybody need encouragement in these days? So, this scripture kind of begs the question, why do I come to church? And why do I need people? Well, there's part of the answer. If not all we need, it's because scripture tells us that. Scripture tells us that. It says, think of ways, verse 24, think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good deeds. Acts of love and good works. You see, that's why we come together. To encourage one another, but also to motivate one another. To do what the Word tells us to do. Acts of love and good deeds. And you know, it's not works for the sake of works. It's what the body of Christ, it's a natural flow. What you're seeing right there is a natural flow of the body of Christ. And that's what it should be. I want you to turn back to the Old Testament, to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Are you here? Okay. I'll keep you awake. It's quiet here this morning. I know it's kind of warm in here, even though the air is on, but when it's chilly outside, it seems like it's more warmer here. We dress warmer and it gets warmer. Malachi chapter 1. And I'm going to begin in verse 6. And the Lord's talking about some specifics here. Verse 6, He says this, the Lord of heaven's army says to the priest, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. Then if I, God, am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. He uses some pretty strong words there. Contempt. Then he says, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? And he goes on to say, you've shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Defiled sacrifices on my altar. And then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? And then he gives the answer. He says, you defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled or diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Defiled sacrifices. You see, God deserves and God expects our best, whatever that may be. The best of whatever we have. The best of our life. The best of our commitment. The best of our everything. And what he was saying there was they were bringing in blind animals, sick ones, diseased sacrifices. In other words, they weren't giving God their best. They were giving them actually probably their worst. Or basically what they were giving him was what they didn't want. What they didn't care anything about. What wasn't important to them. And God says, you give defiled sacrifices. And that's contempt. Contempt to me, he says. So I ask another question today. Do we offer defiled sacrifices today to the Lord? Yeah, ouch. I was ouching when I was preparing this message. I'm going to give you some these scriptures. A lot, not all these scriptures up here because of print deadline. When I did my outline, God's kind of went in another direction when I sat down to put it all together. So I'm going to give you these scriptures. You have to look up a lot of them. Not all of them will be on your on the overhead. Do we offer defiled sacrifices today? Let's take worship. Our worship, our praise. Is it our best? Or is it, you know, something else, something less? Because we don't like this, or we don't like that, or whatever. What about our time? What about our time? Is it our best? Is he first in our time? Or is he there when we get around to it? We get around to it. I saw an evangelist one time said, he was talking about people committing and making a deeper commitment. And he said, well, everybody thinks in their mind and honestly believes they're going to go deeper with God. They're going to get more committed to God when they get around to it. And so he made up these little coins. And on the coins, they were made out of wood, I think, or plastic. And it said, to it. And he started giving it out. He says, you have a round to it. So now you have no excuse. Maybe I need to get some of those made for us. Round to it. Is he first? Or is our time defiled as a sacrifice? What about our money and our resources? Nobody likes to talk about that, do they? Is it our best, which according to God's word, at the very least is the tithe? At the very least is the tithe? Is it our best, or does it get our leftovers, if we have any? Defiled sacrifices. What about our relationships? What about our relationships? Does he direct our relationships? Or do we just call on him when we make a mess of them? Help! I've messed this up, God, because I didn't have you here in the middle of it to start with. Defiled sacrifices. Do we give defiled sacrifices today? Why? Why is the question today? Why do we do what we do concerning God? And I think it's a legitimate question because, you know, it's if you get out and you talk to unbelievers very much, it's a question that they ask. They ask why. Why this? Why that? And so you see, it's important for us to know why. Why do we have faith in Christ? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we come to church? Why do we need people? If you will, turn to Luke chapter 6. No, I haven't got my another preaching Bible yet, so now you notice I've got two up here going back and forth. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Now here's Jesus asking a why question. Jesus is asking a why question. Verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? Is that a legitimate question? Sure it is. And the significant thing about it is, who's asking it? I said that wrong, but the significance of it is the person that's asking it. I wasn't asking you a question, that was a statement, but you got it anyway. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is asking the question. And I'm going to go back to the New Living Testament and read it. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? See, a little plainer English there. But here he goes on. He goes on to say some things, and it won't be on your screen, but I want you to go past that. Look at the next verse. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep, lays the foundation on solid rock, and when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. So Jesus asks, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Legitimate question for all of us, right? Fair question. You know, it's not only a fair question, it's a hard question. Because I think we can, when we really evaluate our lives, we can see a lot of places and ways that we don't. We don't call him Lord, but we don't do what he says. And I'm not talking about perfection, and he's not talking about perfection. He's talking about obedience. He's talking about doing what I say. You know, it's kind of like what we said a few weeks ago. We say we have a relationship with the God of hope, but we live like we don't have hope. And so Jesus, it's kind of the same scenario here. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Don't do what I tell you to do. A lot of questions there. So I'm going to go into some questions. They won't be on your overhead. Let's just leave that up, Twitch. Let's leave that scripture up for now. But let me go into some questions for us this morning that digs a little deeper. You see, when Jesus was talking about this foundation, you think of a foundation. Somebody sent me an email this week called something about the skyscraper. You know, when they build a skyscraper, if this is ground zero, level ground, you know what they do? They excavate down like where this floor is. And then they dig out. They dig out stuff. And then they start the foundation and build the foundation on more solid ground. When you build a house out where we live, Les saw it. We were talking about it. Somebody's building a house out there close to where we live on the road. And you know what? First thing they did, they had to go in and they had to dig out a bunch of muck. They had to demuck it and dig down. Because you don't build a foundation on something that's not going to hold it. And so that's what Jesus was saying. He's saying obedience. First, we have to dig things out. We have to dig things out of our life first in order to get the foundation down on solid ground and then start building the foundation. It's no different with the church. We have to dig things out of our lives, and then start building the foundation on solid ground, on the rock, on solid rock. So question, why? This question, why, just looms. It's so big. That's why on the front of your bulletin, you've got this big question mark with all the whys in it. It's just why. It just looms over us, it seems like, as not something dark and doomsday, but something that's challenging and yet encouraging. Why don't you forgive? Why don't you forgive? Why do you stay wounded and refuse to be healed? Why are you angry or frustrated? Why are you so easily offended? Why are you keeping your distance from Jesus? What do you mean by that? Well, you know, the night Jesus was arrested and they were getting ready to, they were taking him to the Sanhedrins and start all the process of getting him to the cross. It says some of the disciples and Peter followed at a distance. Didn't want to get too close. Do we do that today? Why do we keep a distance from Jesus? Not wanting to get too close. So, why do you think you don't need God? Well, Pastor, we're in church. So? You know, you can go to church and still think you don't need God. I did it for years. Why don't you need people? Why do you think you don't need people? You know, the church is famous for that. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the church at large. You know, they come together, but they're not really together. You know, it's... So why is a big question. Why starts a lot of dialogue and a lot of questions, a lot of thought process for us in our relationship with God. And I go back to those two things, those two that I underline in my notes. That's a looming question for all of us that we really we need to get settled. Why do I come to church? That's a biggie. Why do I come to church? Just go through the motions, just as habit, just because I've always done it? It's got to be more to it than that. It's got to be more to it than that. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now I want you to think about the verse that's up on the screen. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Now let's look at Matthew 7, beginning in verse 21. Still with me?
Yes.
Okay, don't check out. Here we go. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Another version says wickedness. You know, that is a powerful passage. We had quite a discussion. Well, actually, we didn't have a lot of discussion in our life group this last week. The Holy Spirit just kind of took it over and began to speak through people. But there was some discussion about somebody made the point that this person, I noticed this person has changed, and they've really changed, and I've noticed a change about them. And I said, well, what changed them? And the first response was, well, they've been coming in here to church and, you know, and listening and reading the Bible and coming to church. And so I looked at that person and I said, is that what changed you? What changed you? You know what the response was? Jesus. Jesus changed me. And that was the truth. Because you see, as I said to the person that offered, I said, you can come to church till the day you die. And he'll still say, I never knew you. You see, that's where we have to understand why. Why? Why do I do this? We saw a video last week. Those of you who were here saw a video. And I want you to look at it again, because I know there's some here that weren't here. But it's worth viewing again. So Let's cue that video up if we could right now. It's just real short. But I want you to listen to this. I want you to get the connection of this. Watch this illustration. It's great. We don't have any volume.
When a lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know? The next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that has moved me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular, I'm about to show you a clip to. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country. I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of, like, Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow. That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying? All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Now listen to this.
So here's the thing. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time I asked him to sing, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what has more impact. Because you're walking in or towards your purpose.
Chris, come on. You see how important the why is? We have to get the why. Because it determines everything else. You see the what? You're here this morning. You came, you got up, you got ready, you came to church. And you came in here. That's what you did. But why? Why are you here? Why are you here? It's a question we all need to answer. Why are we here? Why do we do this? Is it just to do this for an hour, hour and a half? Or is there something more? Is there something more that we need to be doing beyond this that builds this? Are there others out there that need to know why? Not just the what, the why. You see, when you go and you tell somebody the what about Jesus, they'll hear it. They may listen to it. But they got to have the why with it. And that's where we come in. That's where you come in. Why? In our life group this past week, it's what we talked about. I didn't have an agenda. I just said, you know, we saw that video, you know, what's your why? And then I watched as about a dozen people sitting in a square circle begin to share their why. Man, it was crazy. People begin to share from their heart and their gut why they do what they do. And the interesting part about it was that the Lord had orchestrated it to be directed at one person, because that one person was looking for why. Nobody told him to. It was the Holy Spirit. Every person that gave their testimony, that gave their why, you know, they glanced at everybody, but they looked at the one person. And seven people witnessed to that one person who admittedly said, I'm not there. Not where I need to be. And that's what God does. When we know our why, it'll make all the difference in the world. When we know our why. Because you see, the what is just things we do, and it means nothing if we don't know why we do it. Let's pray together. When you know your why, you'll know the way. And so I want to ask you this morning again to ask yourself these questions and ponder these questions with the Lord. Why do I have faith in Jesus? Why do I read the Bible? Why do I come to church? Why do I need people? When you know the why, you'll know the way. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to begin to know your why. If you don't know it, seek the Lord to reveal you to you why. I mean, there's some of the whys are obvious, but for each one, we need to know why. And if there's someone here that is just asking why. Why Jesus? Because Jesus came to address the one thing that not one of us here can deal with. The one thing that, the one problem, the one issue that none of us here can solve. And that's the issue of death. We all face it. And so Jesus came to address the issue of death. Not physical death, spiritual death. Because once the physical death occurs, the spirit lives on. And there is a heaven and there is a hell. It's well documented in Scripture. And so that's why Jesus That's one of the whys. So we can have spiritual life after this physical life stops. But there's more to that. Why Jesus? Because Jesus can give you a better life now. A quality life. An encouraging life. A fulfilling life. And so, why Jesus? Because we need Him. I need Him and you need Him. Every person here needs Him. And if you don't have Him this morning, all you have to do is reach out to Him with your heart, by faith. Say, Jesus, I need you. By faith, I give you my life. By faith, I give you control. Why? Because we need Him. So you can have Him right where you sit. Seek Him today. Seek Him for your why. Seek the Lord for your why. Know your why so you'll know the way, the purpose of life. Father, we thank You today for that great question that Jesus asked. Why do we call You Lord, Lord, and not do the things You tell us to do? God, help us to answer that why. Answer it with obedience. Answer it by beginning to be obedient to what You tell us. In our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our finances, in our businesses, in our jobs, in our schools, wherever it may be. So that when our time comes, we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," instead of, "Why didn't you do the things I told you?" Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will come into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who calls Him Lord will come into the kingdom. But only those who are obedient to Him. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word that is truth and life and strength. Thank You for the great question of why that helps us find true meaning in life, purpose, peace, contentment. God, I pray that as this church goes forward, we would discover the why and begin to walk in it and begin to purpose in it. And we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes it all possible. In His name, the strong name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. I hope you begin to realize and discover your why going forward. It's really important. Ushers, if you'll come and receive our tithes and our offerings this morning as we thank God for His provisions.